coming to you from out of the blue. I'd normally say broadcasting live from the center of Belito on Radio Life and Style, but today I'm a little further up the highway and coming to you from Umhlanga, from Busamed Gateway Private Hospital for the first of what I think is going to be a really exciting regular radio feature, something with a bit of a medical flavor to it, and getting to know some of the experts, some of the specialists are working and operating out of this incredible hub of medical excellence. For those that are a little bit out of the know, if you picked up the latest edition of the Life and Style magazine, you would have seen a special feature on Busamed Gateway Private Hospital, which is rated as a top 20 hospital by Discovery Health members, has been for four consecutive years, and it's the first purpose-built exclusively surgical and cardiac hospital in KZN. Based in Umhlanga Rocks, Busamed Gateway supports six state-of-the-art theatres, two cardiac catheterization laboratories, each designed and built to meet the unique needs of their specialized disciplines and equipped with the latest technology. With 160 beds, two ICU units, and a high care unit, the hospital also boasts the highest standard patient accommodation in a dedicated specialty unit. And with emergency center operating 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, clinical care is provided by trauma-trained doctors and nursing staff with specialists on call should specialized treatment or admission be required. And that's exactly where we're heading right now, into the specialized world of orthopedics. You see, orthopedic surgery is just one of many specialty services offered at Busamed Gateway. And today I happen to have three of the best and the brightest in the studio with me from the orthopedic surgical team. It's my great pleasure to introduce them to you. So let me try and do just that. On my left, I happen to have Dr. Sachin Baba, who is looking fantastic today, out of his scrubs. Dr. Baba, how are you today?
I'm well, thanks. How are you, Mike?
All the better for being in such good company. And let me continue to introduce the company to you. On my other side, I happen to have Dr. Sunil Satyapal, who is looking very laid back as well, in a golf shirt, not in theatre scrubs either. Dr. Satyapal, how are you today?
Good, Mike. How are you doing?
Oh, man. Looking forward to getting into the chat with you guys. And rounding out the team here, the third musketeer amongst the specialists, Dr. Matthew Foster, relatively recent addition to the Busamed Gateway family, I understand, and looking very chilled as well. Dr. Foster, how are you today?
Oh, I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having us.
Great to have you in the house. And there is a song that is frequently sung and played in my household. I have a three-year-old, very active and inquisitive, and he comes home from nursery school, and it's the head, shoulders, knees and toes, and it's, to my mind, this is your world, orthopedic medicine, and how all those things are connected. And but I wonder if many people know what orthopedics actually is defined as. Dr. Baba, how would you define orthopedics to someone you were sitting next to on an airplane, asking, who are you? What do you do?
Orthopedic surgery is a branch of medicine where we keep people moving, literally.
I like that.
Yeah, so it deals with bone and muscle disorders. So it's anything from fractures where bones break to muscle tears. And these are generally in patients who were otherwise well, and they just want to get back to either playing sports or walking. So like I said, we just keep them moving.
You're obviously working in a rapidly advancing field of medicine as well. I mean, like all fields of medicine, but orthopedics in particular, I'm sure, has seen some incredible strides in recent, not just decades, but recent years. When we look at that picture of the head, shoulders, knees, and toes, let's maybe start at the bottom and work our way kind of upward. Dr. Foster, I believe that when it comes to the knees, that's a particular area of interest for you. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. My interest is knee surgeries. The knee carries the rest of the body, so it's a really important joint.
I happen to have two knees that I think are a long way away from needing any kind of orthopedic attention, but I recently had a family member getting diagnosed with arthritic knee. And I wanted to know a little bit about that, because I'm sure there are many listeners with creaky knees listening to this wondering, should I go see a specialist? Should I be driving up the highway to Busamed Gateway to see Dr. Foster? So what is knee arthritis, actually?
Yeah, so Mike, you know, we often have patients that come in, elderly patients with creaky knees, as you say, or painful knees, and we often end up diagnosing them with arthritis. But simply put, arthritis is degeneration of the knee. So within the knee itself, you have cartilage, and that cartilage allows you to have a good fluid motion, so your knees can sort of move and keep you moving, as Sachin said. But over time, it can degenerate, whether it's wear and tear, previous injuries, or some sort of systemic illness that sort of degenerates the cartilage for you. But essentially, arthritis is degeneration of the joints and eventually causes pain and stiffness.
Nice. Are there any sort of red flags that people should be looking out for or feeling out for to indicate if they potentially have arthritis, other than just the creaky and the ow?
Yeah, usually first warning signs is pain. Pain's a commonest symptom you may experience. And if you've had a history of an injury to the knee or family history of arthritis, you know, that's an indication that you may be suffering from arthritis yourself. Osteoarthritis, which is usual degeneration, often is an elderly patient. So if you have knee pain and you're kind of old, you know, it's worth getting it checked out.
Yo, and obviously you don't want to be doing Dr. Google, you want to be talking to someone who knows this thing inside and out. Dr. Satyapal, knees also factor into your world. Knee and hip, that is your primary area of focus. Is that right?
Yes, Mike. Matt answered everything as I would. But one also has to take into account patients with other medical problems, rheumatoid arthritis, diet where they can have gout. So all that can lead to pain in the knees, hips, other joints as well. So as Sachin said, we want to keep patients moving, but also we want to keep them moving and pain-free. So those are the two important things. And we have a very sporting society.
This
so
is the thing.
Cycling is big. Paddle now has become very big. We love paddle courts or orthopedic surgeons.
Keeps you guys very busy, I imagine.
We want to jump onto the court without warming up, so it's good to warm up. And us being older, want to try and be young again and want to go to places like Bounce. And there's going to be injuries there. So not only with arthritis, you're going to get damages to your ligaments in the knee, which Sachin mentioned as well. So all that, you should see an orthopedic surgeon. Yes, people do use Google, which will help you with what we call a differential diagnosis, but you have to see a specialist to help you diagnose and treat you. Google does not prescribe anything.
Not yet. AI is coming for that, but I'm sure it's going to be wildly inaccurate, and it can't ever be a substitute for a qualified medical professional with years of human interaction and experience. And moving further up the body to the world of the upper limbs, Dr. Barber, this is your particular playground, am I right? Shoulders and wrists and elbows and the like.
Yeah, that's where I like to play.
Okay, so it's still very much in the paddle court. And looking at the shoulder space, for example, when I think orthopedics, I tend to think the elderly and the sort of super active sort of sports set. Are these typically the two sort of broad buckets of patients that you encounter? And does age have a particular determining factor in the shoulder pain, shoulder injuries, and the type of stuff that you see?
Yeah, I think the moment someone comes to me with pain, I already have an idea in my head, okay, like an AI engine going, that this is a 70-year-old lady who's complaining about pain in the shoulder, versus if you come to me and you said you fell playing paddle, I would think different pathology already. So in my head, older patients generally come with degenerative problems. Younger patients come with more instability and tear-related problems. That just seeing someone and hearing the first, like how long they've had pain, gives me already an idea of what's happening.
I got you. So there's a whole process. Obviously, you guys have seen collectively between all of you hundreds of different cases, different examples of humanity gone slightly wonky. You draw on all of that stuff. And obviously, you're also part of a collective here at Busamed Gateway and your colleagues, and you have this kind of collective brain power, which must be one of the advantages, I suppose, of being based in a setting like this. You're in good company and you can bounce cases off one another, and the collective is stronger than the individual. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. I think we've got a strong group of orthopedic surgeons in this facility. Each one has their own sort of subspecialty that they like to focus on. And there are some overlaps. The good thing is we'll always have discussions when there's troublesome cases or troublesome patients or complex pathology where you can lean on someone and say, Mike's come to me with a really bad shoulder, and because he's such a high-profile personality, I just want a hand so we get a good outcome here.
Hey, that's why I only come here whenever I throw my shoulder out. But I'm looking at trying to wrap my brain. I mean, I did biology to matric. That's about as far as my medical, you know, knowledge extends. But from that, I know that we have in the musculoskeletal system different moving parts, different types of joints, different complexities to each one of those. So when you look at the knee, for example, versus a shoulder, very different mechanical movements there when it comes to looking at treating a damaged knee versus a popped shoulder. There's obviously going to be some overlap, but in some ways very different beasts. Would you agree, Dr. Foster?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, your shoulder, as Sachin would explain, you have so much more range in the shoulder itself. You know, your knee is almost like a hinge joint. It goes sort of forward and backwards. It flexes and extends with a bit of rotation, but minimal rotation comparatively to the shoulder,
yeah.
Which means that the type of wear or damage that you get is usually in a different pattern.
Yeah.
So whereas you can have a lot of muscular injuries around the shoulder, like Sachin will tell you about a rotator cuff tear, for example, which are the muscles around the shoulder, you know, you can get a lot of that sort of damage, whereas in the knee, you may injure the cartilage or the ligaments more commonly from a sporty injury.
I gotcha. Obviously, depending on what a person is doing in their day-to-day, having a shoulder injury could be the difference between just not being able to play paddle, or it could mean not being able to do your job. Looking at non-surgical treatment and management of a case versus the surgical route, and that's obviously something that you have to weigh up on a case-by-case basis depending on the complexity and the nature of what's being presented. But I imagine that Dr. Satyapal, in your case, for example, when it comes to the world of hips and hip replacements, now these have been around for a long time, but I'm just guessing here that the kind of hardware that you're working with nowadays in terms of the actual joint, the artificial hip joint that you're installing, has got to be streaks ahead of what you might have been dealing with 20 years ago, and the sort of the lifespan on that that new joint, it's got to be looking a lot better than it was previously, yeah?
Absolutely, Mike. Let's take 10 years ago. A person who had a joint replacement, you'd keep them in hospital 5 days, 7 days. You'd send them after theater to an ICU. Patients go home the same day now, if not a day or two.
Wow.
And the hardware can last 20 to 30 years. It does depend on your lifestyle as well. Certain things have to be changed. People can go back to playing golf. Swimming is good. Cycling. So lots of elderly cyclists, people taking up cycling now is huge in South Africa. Things like paddle, yes, you may not be able to do, but as we get older, golf, a bit of tennis, as well as cycling, swimming. So yes, the hardware has improved. Lifespan has increased for that, and patients do very well.
Well, this is giving me hope as I get older. there's life after paddle if it comes to that. I want to get just a quick snapshot from you all operating out of a world-class medical facility here in KZN, South Africa. When you travel abroad and when people ask you about the state of private medical care on the southern tip of Africa, Dr. Barber, are you optimistic? Do you project confidence? Do you feel like we are punching at that world-class level in terms of the state-of-the-art medical care we're able to provide?
Mike, I definitely agree. We punch right up there with the so-called first world countries. We get patients who come from overseas to us because they want medical care, not only because we're competent in it, because they know that we do a lot, or they've been referred down to us to have their surgeries done. There's lots of procedures that we do where we are in the top or first five or six countries in the world to do.
Wow.
So even now, do you think that in 2024, there's only so many new things that are coming out, but at much like new cars every year and new phones, There's always a new device that's coming out to try and solve a problem easily, more reproducibly, and get better function and better outcomes. So we're definitely punching with the first world country, so to say.
Well, again, this is giving me lots of hope and enthusiasm, and this is the kind of message that we like to project and like to tell on this radio station. I want to find out from you, Dr. Foster, what is getting you the most excited in terms of where things are heading, whether it's in the surgical realm or even in the non-surgical treatment space, gel injections, stem cells. This is a crazy time we're living in.
Absolutely. No, I completely agree that our system here is fantastic. In South Africa, our private care is up there globally. And we do have access to a lot of stuff. So some of these sort of non-operative therapies that we can do platelet-rich plasma. So we can take your blood and spin it down and then re-inject your inflammatory things to help with tendinopathies and arthritis and things like that. Gel injections, which is the lay term for hyaluronic acid, which we get from overseas, just helps lubricate a joint. You can put bone marrow in knees. There's all kinds of different things. We get bioinductive patches, sort of these dermal patches you can put on rotator cuff tears, which we have availability to help healing. I mean, Sashin can tell you about that. He does that sort of thing. We have robots to help you with joint replacement. We have artificial intelligence goggles. I mean, it's all awesome, but it doesn't replace us. In saying that, they're all tools. You got to know what you're doing to use the tools.
Absolutely. I'm not anytime soon going to be just handing myself over to a robot without a human operator, a very skilled operator behind the dials there. But it is incredibly exciting to be operating at the top of your game in this moment in time, where advances in medical technology seems to be exponentially building on year on year. Dr. Satyapal, from your perspective, when it comes to looking at the tools that you've got available to play with now, what's getting you excited?
As the guys mentioned, initially when we see patients, we always try conservative management, like Matt mentioned, your injections, therapists, physiotherapy, biokinetics, get them involved. They are all on the same page as us. And then the last resort will be surgical. And Sachin mentioned we are up there with the rest of the world. Our guys present papers and research overseas, so we're definitely competing with them. We all have joint registries. So what are joint registries? If joints are done, they are recorded. So we look at outcomes, longevity of joints. So as Matt also mentioned, robot, the robot does not do the surgery. So patients come and ask, do you do robot surgery? It is robotic-assisted surgery. So I think our training in South Africa, in medical school and all the hospitals, is there, and I think if not better than the rest of the world. We all worked overseas. We've been there. Our guys coming out, the experience we get in the government hospitals and then coming into private, we have lots to offer, and technology is always advancing. So,
well, there's always this narrative of the brain drain, and this is the kind of counter-narrative, which is the brains staying here, adding value to society, pooling together and creating this kind of hub of excellence and a case study that people can look at and say, you see, it works. They're doing it. So as we sort of wrap up the chat here, Dr. Barber, from your side, what's getting you excited at the moment?
I think the things that are evolving a lot more in my practice now, and that patients look at me with big eyes when I say, I'll replace your little joints in your fingers. And they'll be like, my finger joints? And I'm like, yeah, I can get you holding a golf stick again. Or I can get you playing bowls comfortably with little joint replacements. Even things like wrist replacements. We've done one just recently again, and patients who come in with these problems, they don't realize that we can change their lives back to a level of normality with all of the newer upper limb replacements that we can do. And that excites me, and it excites a lot of my patients to hear that they can get that done here in Durban. They don't have to go out of the country or out of the province to have it done, and we're getting really good results with them. I think the next big thing for me is research, is we do so much. I do so much work that I seem to feel that I'm doing really well and my patients are. But now it's putting it out there on the global stage that we are doing it, and we're doing it well. And we got patients who are really happy with it.
And that's the story. That's the one we want to celebrate, and we want to create more awareness. That's why we're doing this. We're getting the word out that you guys are here, and you're just up the road from us in Ballito, Busamed Gateway Private Hospital, Umhlanga Rocks, and the reputation that this place is earning, as you say, not just locally, internationally. And medical tourism is becoming a bigger and bigger thing year on year, and with world-class medical care and our South African rand playing into our favor in that regard, why not come down to the balmy KZN coastline, get a bit of sun and seaside, and get your knee replaced, get a new hip, or get a shoulder or a micro joint replaced in your finger. It's an incredible space, and I just want to say thank you for giving me a little look into this dynamic world of orthopedic surgery, each one of you, for your time. I know you're busy guys, and I appreciate you carving out a little slice of your day to connect with us on the radio. And if you're just catching the tail end of this chat, I'm in conversation with three of the best from the orthopedic surgery space, based out of Busamed Gateway: Dr. Sachin Barber, Dr. Sunil Satyapal, and Dr. Matthew Foster, all of them specialists in their own rights, and collectively part of the A-team at Busamed Gateway, where it's all A-team, it's all the best, and we're very lucky to have it here on our KZN coastline. Guys, looking forward to doing another one of these, hopefully in the not-too-distant future, because by next week there's going to be more developments to talk about and more exciting stuff to lift the lid on. I'll invite you to the radio studio in Ballito for a catch-up. What do you say? How does that sound?
Awesome. Sounds great.
You heard it here on Radio Life and Style, coming to you from out of the blue.